This is episode 21 of the New Age Christian Synthesis podcast. The point of this podcast is to provide honest truth seekers with food for thought and perhaps a place to belong as well. This week's subject is conspiracies. Some people seem to see secret schemes playing out under every rock, whereas others dismiss all conspiracy theories out of hand as crazy talk. As usual, the truth can be found somewhere in the middle. But how can we discern which are the true conspiracies? J.J. Dewey highlights the parallels between events of the past and the present to give us some helpful guidelines to go by. This class was given back in 2002, so that's why J.J. speaks of George W. Bush as the current president. But the subject matter is even more relevant today than it was when it was presented. And now, J.J. Dewey.
The question is there really a conspiracy, and who are the conspirators? What is the one of the main reasons that Mormons in particular are into conspiracies more than the rest of the religions, and the rest of the religions have quite a few themselves, is because of a prophecy made in the Book of Mormon. And let me just read you that prophecy. The prophecy gives the reason the whole Book of Mormon was written to begin with. It's in Ether chapter 8. And he says, "Now I, Moroni, do not write after the manner of their oaths and combinations. For it has been made known unto me that they are had among all people, and they are had among the Lamanites." Now these oaths he's talking about is a group emerged among the ancient Indian peoples called the Gadianton robbers. And they rejuvenated the oaths of Cain. They were, it's told that they were actually revealed to them from dark entities, that these oaths provided a means whereby they could obtain great power over men. And it tells us how these oaths worked. And what happened with these is the Gadianton robbers pretty much overran the country. And until eventually a whole continent was destroyed, and a whole race of people, the white Indians at that time, were completely destroyed because of these secret combinations that existed among them. And Moroni tells us that one of the main reasons I'm sealing up this book to be delivered to the people in the last days is so that they will understand about these secret combinations so that they can be done away with. And so in other words, he's saying one of the main purposes of going through all this effort to give you guys this book is so that you can be warned about these secret combinations, so the same thing will not happen to you that's happening to my people. And of course, Moroni wrote a lot of these things as he watched his people go down into destruction. And here's what he writes. "And they have caused the destruction of this people of whom I am now speaking, and also the destruction of the people of Nephi. That whatsoever nation shall uphold such secret combinations to get power and gain until they spread over the nation, behold, they shall be destroyed. The Lord will not suffer the blood of his saints, which shall be shed by them, shall always cry unto him from the ground for vengeance, and upon them, and yet he avenges them not. Wherefore, O ye Gentiles..." And the Gentiles is the people that will possess American continent. In other words, "Wherefore, O America, it is wisdom in God that these things should be shown unto you, that thereby ye may repent of your sins and suffer not these murderous combinations to get above you, which are built up to get power and gain. The work, yea, even the work of destruction come upon you. Yea, even the sword of justice and the eternal God shall fall upon you to your overthrow and destruction if ye suffer these things to be. Wherefore the Lord commandeth you, when you shall see these things, when you shall see these things come among you, that you awake to a sense of your awful situation, because of the secret combination which shall be among you, or woe be unto it, because of the blood of them which have been slain. They cry from the dust for vengeance upon it, and also for those who build it up. And it cometh to pass that whosoever buildeth it up seeketh the overthrow and freedom of all lands and nations and countries. And it bringeth to pass the destruction of all people, for it is built up by the devil, who is the father of lies, the same liar who beguiled our first parents. Now, because of this warning in the Book of Mormon, people who take the Book of Mormon seriously are on guard about a conspiracy that will exist in the last days that could cause our destruction. The general Mormon population are anti-conspiracy. The leaders of the church think it's just kooks that take this too seriously, and so they don't. The leaders of the church don't take their own scriptures that seriously, but the many sincere Mormons take this scripture very seriously, and so they're looking into the conspiracy. So what we're going to do today is analyze this using the law of correspondence, which we're going to talk about a little bit more as we go along tonight, and ask ourselves, what was a conspiracy in that age, and what's a correspondence in this age? Okay, so let's ask us that question, and we may get a little bit different answer than most conspiracy people think. Who were the conspirators in the Book of Mormon days?
The Gadianton robbers.
And what did they do that was so wrong?
Terrorism
and what else? What were
kill for power and for money?
Okay. They would kill for power and money. What else did they do?
They controlled the people. They controlled what they thought. They controlled them through fear.
And they did something that says which was abominable. Above all the other things which God detests. What was that?
Twisted his teachings to fit their own purpose?
Well, they did that, but that wasn't the worst thing.
Didn't they hurt little kids?
Pulled the wings off butterflies? What's that?
Cannibalism.
No?
That's bad.
It says that which is most abominable above all other things.
The lie?
Hmm?
The virtue of the women?
No.
Okay, we're guessing.
Well, they
pretty good for a bunch of Mormons. A bunch of well-read Mormons.
They took the children.
It was something that Hitler did. I'll give you a hint. Hitler did the same thing. What? No? No. Hitler did it. Hitler did the same thing that the Book of Mormon calls the most abominable thing in the sight of God.
Denied the Spirit?
Oh, the Holy Ghost. Denying the Holy Ghost.
No?
In the name of God and Lord.
Have you guys read the Book of Mormon?
Well, yeah.
Okay, that which is... We should remember this, because it says it's the most abominable thing in the eyes of God that there is. I gave you a key word.
Yeah, leave them all.
Where's the Book of Mormon?
Okay. Where did the Gadianton robbers who was the initiate of the Gadianton robbers, according to the Book of Mormon?
Gadianton.
No?
Cain.
And what happened between Cain and...
The oath.
Oath.
And broke their
right.
Oaths to murder.
What about the oath was the most abominable thing in the sight of God? Just oath itself wasn't the most abominable, but their particular oaths. What
were secret combinations.
They were secret combinations. But there was something about their oaths that was most abominable.
Sealed in blood?
Blood oaths, yeah.
Yeah, they made... But what about the oath?
Well, they
just oath and blood wouldn't be that abominable. It could be distasteful.
Well, if anybody let anybody know, they'd kill them.
Does anyone know how Hitler applied his oaths? He used the same method as the Gadianton robbers did.
The same?
Made them okay. Deny Jesus Christ?
No.
Killed their family if they broke the...
No, see, if Hitler would have said, you have to deny Jesus Christ, you think they would have done it willingly?
Oh, yeah.
They had to make oaths.
No, they wouldn't have done it. They would have, a lot of them would have given their lives first if you hit them point blank, just like the early Christians. Caesar gave the early Christians a choice.
either accept Caesar as God or be thrown to the lions. And they thought, well, Caesar is not God. God is God, or Christ is their God, or Messiah.
They set Hitler up as God. Hail, hail Hitler.
No, not really. Not overtly. Kind of subtly, he was God. Kind of looked on himself as God. But you didn't have to say Hitler was God. But see, the point is, in the days of the Roman Empire, when they were given the choice, the direct choice, most Christians says, Christ is my Lord, so he can throw me the lions if you want. And so they threw him to the lions. I mean, you give them the direct choice, a lot of people will sacrifice their lives. Hitler didn't do that. He did something even more abominable than Caesar.
A secret oath? An oath they didn't know they were taken?
No, they knew they were taking it.
So it was an oath?
Yeah.
Who did he give it to?
All of his generals.
And they all took it?
Yeah.
And Gadianton did the same thing.
Yeah, they all took it. Now, if he would ask his generals, choose between me being God or Jesus, a lot of them would have given their lives because that was against their principles. But what he asked them to do wasn't breaking any direct commandment that they could think of. So
they agreed to uphold each other no matter what, no matter if they did wrong or whatever.
Yeah.
That was part of the oath, that no matter what anybody does, we all agree to uphold each other, lie for each other, whatever it takes to...
Okay, Blaine's getting really close. Hitler's generals were taken in by Hitler and made to swear allegiance to him in the name of God. So swearing allegiance to a man or a group of men in the name of God is the most abominable thing in the eyes of God, because you're not swearing allegiance to God, you're swearing allegiance to a man in the name of God. And that's what Hitler had all of his generals do. And that's why when they were told to go put the Jews to death, they had sworn allegiance. And so they were afraid that if they didn't put the Jews to death, they would break their oath in the name of God. And they felt they would offend God by not putting the Jews to death. And everybody wonders, well, why did these people just mindlessly go ahead and do this? I mean, historians have a hard time figuring this out. Why did the Nazis, why were they so controlled? It's because all of the German leaders swore in the name of God allegiance to Hitler. And they were afraid to break their oath because they thought if they break their oath, they would be offending God. So better put a few Jews to death than break their oath to God.
What about the lower ranks that actually carried out the orders?
Well, they were afraid for their life. Either they did it or they give up their life. So, but see, the generals, the leaders, are the ones that create the thought form. And when the thought form is in play, people don't go contrary to the thought form. And so it's just like if all the Mormon general authorities decreed something, even if it was completely crazy, I guarantee you the rank and file Mormons would go along with it when they saw all their leaders going along with it.
Ooh, you just associated the Mormon general authorities with Hitler's general.
No, not with Hitler, but I'm just saying if they all decided as a group, whether it be the Mormon leaders or say all of Congress got together and they decided something and it was totally wrong and obviously wrong, most people go along with it anyway because their leaders.
Yeah,
both sides. I mean, they're getting together and both sides agree with this, so it's got to be right. My guy's for it, so I guess they must know what they're doing, you know. But you get the leaders going along with something, you get everybody. And so Hitler had all of his generals make a personal oath to him. And if they didn't obey the oath, they would be killed. And more than that, they would also be damned, because these were all of his generals were very religious people. Almost all of them were very sincere Christian people, and when they made that oath in the name of God, they feared for their soul if they broke it. And that's the key to the secret combinations, is that they commit a person in such a way that they feel that if they break the oath, they will lose their soul. That's what they feel. And that's why these oaths are so abominable to God because they feel that God will send them to hell for not obeying the oath. They fear more the wrath of God than they do killing, taking an innocent life, or maybe sacrificing a virgin on an altar, or maybe putting someone to death that has offended the group, or whatever. They fear that. They fear the wrath of God for breaking their oath more than they fear these other things. And that's why it's the most abominable thing in the sight of God, is because it is so contrary to what God is really like.
Well, yeah, you'll break every other commandment.
Yeah, it gives you power to, gives the leaders power. When they have put the people under these oaths, it gives them power. And the Book of Mormon describes the oaths of Gadianton. It says that they swear allegiance that if they break the oath, they will die. And the oaths are for the purpose of sustaining power for each other. And so, this is what gives them such power, and they also give the oath in the name of God. They use God's name in the oath itself.
Reminds me of
giving them
oaths that Mormons are familiar with.
Yeah. Now, let's examine these Gadianton robbers then. These people that had these oaths that caused the downfall of the ancient Indian people. First of all, were these people visible or invisible?
The people that caused
the Gadianton robbers.
They lived among the people, so they were visible, but you didn't know who they were. They were invisible because you never knew who they were.
They
were your neighbors, yeah. They were recognized by each other through secret handshakes and secret meetings, but it could have been anybody you worked with.
Does this sound familiar? And they did commit murder and plunder. And then they would retreat back to the mountains and into the wilderness and secret places, hiding themselves where they could not be discovered, receiving daily an addition to their numbers, insomuch there were dissenters that went forth unto them. Who exists in this day and age that retreats into the mountains and the caves?
Well, Eastern terrorists.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? Now, these Gadianton robbers, let me read you a couple more things about them. Thus, yea, even in the space of not many years, they became an exceedingly great band of robbers, and they did search out the secret plans of Gadianton, and thus they did become the robbers of Gadianton. Now, behold, these robbers did make great havoc, even great destruction among the people of Nephi, and also among the people of Lamanites. And it came to pass as expedient that there should be a stop put to this work of destruction. Therefore they sent an army of strong men into the wilderness and upon the mountains to search out this band of robbers and to destroy them. Has somebody done that in this age?
Yeah.
Has Bush sought a band, an army to go to the mountains and destroy a band of robbers? Yet how many people think that Bush is the conspirator? You go on the internet, everybody thinks that Bush is the conspirator. Yet, who is the one fulfilling the correspondent of destroying the Gadianton robbers? It's Bush. Have the conspiracy theory got everything upside down? Does the general trend in almost every train of thought in the universe, is it almost always upside down? Do the religions have it upside down? If the mainstream religions have it upside down, is it possible that the mainstream conspiracy theories are also upside down? Yeah.
But he's done it to obtain more power over our freedoms.
What's he?
Bush.
Not nearly as much as Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln took away much more freedom than Bush ever thought of doing.
What freedom did Bush ever take away from us?
Well, we never got the freedom back that Abraham Lincoln took, so...
Got a lot of it back. I mean, he took away. I mean,
well, the Homeland Security Act. All of us could be.
Abraham Lincoln just arrested whoever he wanted. He'd give the word, and they'd go arrest anybody he wanted, whole town.
Bush could do that right now with us.
Not really. It'd be too big of an outcry. Abraham Lincoln lived in an age where he could get away with more than Bush could today. I mean, Bush couldn't. If Bush went and rounded up a couple thousand people of Near East descent, there'd be such outcry that they'd impeach him. I mean, he could not do what Abraham Lincoln did.
Because the media, they control that too, so they can say whatever they want about these people.
Well, most of the media don't like Bush. Time Magazine doesn't like Bush. New York Times hates him. New York Times also hated Lincoln. You should have read what the New York Times wrote about Lincoln. I mean, whoever the New York Times doesn't like, you can pretty much depend on a pretty decent fellow.
They're neutral states during the Civil War.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln incarcerated members of Congress of those states which were.
And you know, if Abraham Lincoln hadn't have done what he did, there'd still be slavery on Earth today. I mean,
probably.
The war in the 60s, the civil rights demonstrations in the 60s would have been to free the slaves rather than to just give the blacks more power. But that's how far up Abraham Lincoln brought the freedom of the slaves.
It doesn't matter if it's Democrats or Republicans. They put that dichotomy in to control us, too. So, you know, I mean, that's a form of control. Both, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, they're still in control.
Okay, we'll talk about that. But again, one of the things I talked about in the beginning was being able to recognize truth.
Yeah.
And the most difficult thing is when you're presented with something that goes against everything you believe. Now, what we're doing is presenting several things that goes against what several people in this room have accepted for a long period of time. So what we're going to have to do is open our minds and look at it through the law of correspondences. The law of correspondences is the safest bet. Now, what we're going to do is look at the real Gadianton robbers identified in the Book of Mormon and compare them today. Were the Gadianton robbers visible or invisible? Are the conspiracies that everyone talks about today visible or invisible? Lorraine?
The conspiracies are making a lot of noise, that's for sure. But the robbers, I'm going to say...
But they can never find the conspirators. I mean, they can never identify them.
I think it's invisible.
Yeah. But see, in the Book of Mormon times, the conspirators were not invisible. They were visible. They actually fought with them. They searched them out in the mountains and the caves. The conspirators hid in the mountains and the caves. They hid out, and then they surfaced, and they actually made physical war with the people, and they attacked them, and they were terrorists. They'd come in their cities, and they would attack the people and then withdraw, just like the... Yeah, the Taliban and what's Al-Qaeda has done to us.
And to his own country.
I think it's a lot more convoluted today than, you know, as you teach that law of correspondences isn't perfect with each other. There's certain correspondences, but it's not always exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah, there's differences but similarities. And it came to pass in the 13th year, there began to be wars and contentions throughout all the land. For the Gadianton robbers had become so numerous that they did slay many of the people, and did lay up waste so many cities, and did spread such death and carnage throughout the land, that it became expedient that all the people, both the Nephites and the Lamanites, Democrats and Republicans, should take up arms against them. Okay, these weren't just subtle bankers. You know, now what were probably the problems the Nephites had? One of the problems they had was, well, you know, the real conspirators here are these bankers. You know, well, wasn't the bankers that were the Gadianton robbers? The bankers, it's true, there's a lot of bad bankers and bad capitalists and conspiracies. They have their own little mini conspiracies. But we're talking about the conspiracy that's warned about in the Book of Mormon, which was a group of visible people that actually waged war. They were in the minority at the time, usually in the minority, and they were definitely terrorists. They would come and raid the villages, capture the women, run off with them, rape their women. They would then they would insert within, among the Nephites and Lamanites, among their civilization, their own people. And these would be it'd be like having, say, Al-Qaeda having, like they say, 5,000 terrorists living among us, and we don't know who they are. They say there's at least 5,000 dedicated terrorists living in the United States, We don't know who they are. We're told that the Gadianton robbers did the same thing. There were Gadianton robbers in the hills and valleys and mountains and caves. And then there were also Gadianton robbers living in the civilized world of the Nephites and Lamanites, disguising themselves among them, pretending to be with them, but they weren't really with them. But they were creating sabotage. And they were spreading their oaths and covenants. And they would find other people that wanted to get ahead and make a lot of money and without earning it. And they would administer these oaths to them and make them a brother. And then the Book of Mormon says that when these people were brought into court for any crime, that many of the judges were also associated with the Gadianton robbers, and they would let them off because they would show them secret signs and tokens that they would show to the judges. And the judges would let these Gadianton robbers off. And thus the Gadianton robbers, part of them lived in the mountains and the hills, part of them lived among the people and worked with sabotaging the justice system. So it says the righteous were punished and the evil people were let free. That's what the Book of Mormon tells us. So it's interesting, the correspondences here. Now remember, Bin Laden communicates with us and sends us a video every now and then. Well, the leader of the Gadianton robbers did the same thing. He sent an epistle. Let me read it to you. Now, it came to pass in the 16th year of the coming of Christ, Lachonius, the governor of the land, received an epistle from the governor of this band of robbers, like Osama bin Laden. And these were the words which were written, saying, Lachonius, most noble chief governor of the land, behold, I write this epistle unto you and to give you exceedingly great praise because of your firmness and also the firmness of your people, maintaining that which you suppose to be your right and liberty, which you do stand well as if you were supported by the hand of God in defense of your liberty and property and your country and that which ye so call. And it seemed a pity unto me, most noble Lachonius, that ye would be so foolish and vain as to suppose that ye can stand against so many brave men who are at my command, who do now at this time stand in their arms and do wait with great anxiety for a word to go down among the Nephites and destroy them. And I, knowing of their unconquerable spirit, having proved them in the field of battle, that's what they thought in Afghanistan, they were all proven in the field of battle, we were just a bunch of weak guys. And knowing of their everlasting hatred towards you. And Al-Qaeda has an everlasting hatred toward us. Matter of fact, all the Muslim extremists, not all the Muslims, but many of the Muslim extremists, they have an everlasting hatred toward anybody that's non-Muslim. They think they should just be destroyed. They crashed into the World Trade Center to actually kill as many people as they could. That's what they were interested in. Didn't matter if they were women, children, or they just wanted our destruction. You are so foolish and vain as suppose you can stand against so many brave men who are at my command, who at this time stand in their arms and do wait with a great anxiety to go down upon the Nephites and destroy them. And I, knowing of their unconquerable spirit, having proved them in the field of battle, and knowing of their everlasting hatred towards you because of the many wrongs which you have done unto them. Therefore, if they should come down against you, would visit you with utter destruction. Therefore, I have written you this epistle, sealing it with my own hand, feeling for your welfare because of your firmness in which you believe to be right and your noble spirit in the field of battle. Therefore, I write unto you, desiring that you would yield up this people, your cities, your lands, your possessions, rather that they should visit you with a sword and destruction should come upon you. In other words, yield yourself up unto us, unite with us, and become acquainted with our secret works, and become our brethren, that ye may become like unto us, not slaves, but brethren and partners of all our substance. Behold, I swear unto you, if you will do this with an oath, ye shall not be destroyed. But if you will not do this, I swear unto you with an oath, these oaths are really big among these people, that on the morrow month I will command my army shall come down against you, and they shall not stay their hand, and they shall spare not, and they shall slay you, and they shall let fall the sword upon you, even until you become extinct. Behold, I am Gideonhi, and I am governor of the secret society of Gadianton, which society and works, therefore, I know to be good. And they are of ancient date, and they have been handed down to us. And I write this epistle unto you, Lachonius, and I hope
that you will deliver up your lands and your possessions without the shedding of blood, and this my people may recover their rights and government. It's interesting that they think they're right, and they think they have the right to government. Their rights and government, who have descended away from you because of your wickedness, and retaining from them their rights of government, and except you do this, I will avenge their wrongs. And it's interesting that the enemies of the freer countries of the world, not perfect countries, but the freer ones, think that they have the right to government. And so they seek what they think is their right to rule. And Al-Qaeda does this by secret oaths too, and if any of them betray each other, well, they are put to death. Now, in the book of Revelation, John saw the workings of this great conspiracy that is over the world, and he says, I saw it, and he says, I wondered with great admiration. And the way he spoke about it, it was as if it was different than he thought it would be, because he wondered with great admiration when he saw it. Why did he wonder? He wondered because the conspiracy itself is not any particular group. It's the conspiracy that is organized not upon the earth, but on the other side.
That's what I meant by invisible.
Right, it's invisible to that extent. But their manifestation here is visible. And remember, the last prophecy that I read, it says, when you shall see this come upon you. Now, it's talking about seeing it the same way that they saw the Gadianton robbers. When they saw the Gadianton robbers, the Gadianton robbers actually physically attacked them, and they saw them. Just not a handful of people saw them on the subtle planes or saw them on the internet list there. But they actually saw them come among them. And Moroni gives this warning, when ye shall see this come among you, see. And you, meaning the people of America, when the people of America see the conspirators come among you. Now, when did this happen? When, as the time happened, that the people of America actually physically saw, America as a whole, not just a handful of people, not just a thousand people that study the conspiracy.
Over and over.
Right.
11.
Right. The conspirators come out of the woodwork and attack the World Trade Center, and we saw them come among us. This was the fulfillment of the prophecy given by Moroni. When you see them come among you. He says, then you must put them away. You must put them down because they will seek the destruction of the whole world.
And as much as said that that's their goal.
Right, and that's their goal.
Destroy the whole Western world.
Right, they hate us. And if we don't put them down and they gather strength, then they, if they get a lot of the Muslim people behind them, and remember, what Hitler did, he gained his power by not only getting the extremists behind him, but then he got the non-extremists behind him. When he got the power, energy follows thought, and energy follows the power. And so when a person like Hitler gets power, people, it kind of creates a domino effect. And if we do not put them down, a domino effect could be created where a tremendous number of people could start saying, you know, these people are not that bad. Wouldn't be much worse living under them than United States, you know. And that's what they said about Hitler. You know, well, it doesn't really matter who wins, you know, live with either one. A lot of people kind of thought that during World War II. But on hindsight, we can look back and say it does matter. So now this is a question like Scott is thinking here. Is how about all the conspiracies we hear among the bankers, among the conspiracies among the Jews to take over the world? A lot of people think that there's a Jewish conspiracy. There's a coordinated conspiracy, an intergovernment type of thing.
How about the Illuminati?
Yeah, a lot of people think the Illuminati is a part of a conspiracy, the CFR. A lot of these organizations
Here's one of the things I've give you from my own history. As I first heard of these things back in the 60s, when I first heard about it, I was told that the conspiracy had everything pretty much wrapped up. You know, they figured they had us pretty much defeated. They had the United States divided into 12 regions. It was only a few months before they were going to take over these and divide us in these 12 regions, and they're going to issue new money. They're going to call in all of our money, and there was going to be no more money like we know it, and they were going to give us pennies on the dollar for our money and control us through calling in our money, dividing us into 12 regions, putting 12 governors over the 12 regions, and setting up a dictatorship. And this was supposed to happen imminently. And I read a lot of the John Birch literature and
it's still
the conspiracy book. And it kind of made me nervous. I mean, I read a lot of them and I thought, well, kind of, you know, might have a point there. And I started looking at some of the things and it seemed, well, seems kind of logical. What can I do about it? I mean, matter of fact, one guy I knew in the that was really into the conspiracy. It's kind of funny. He almost loved the conspiracy. In the fact, he was really against it. He subscribed to these magazines that cost him about $100 a month. It was really expensive, and it was really super secret underground information he was getting, and he was feeding it to me every month. It was pretty interesting stuff. But he says, one time he was going in this business venture. I said, where'd you get the money? He says, Rockefeller money. Rockefeller money. Yeah, he says it can't fail because Rockefeller's behind this. So he was going into business with Rockefeller money because he figured the conspiracy was so powerful that it couldn't fail because he was using Rockefeller money. So I thought, boy, that's kind of odd. There he is preaching to me against his conspiracy all this time, and he's happy to take Rockefeller money.
But,
well, yeah, he was. He was always talking about Rockefeller. But so anyway, I kept waiting and nothing happened. And I thought, why is nothing? So pretty soon new conspiracy stuff come out. Kissinger, Jimmy Carter, and almost everybody in the government was replaced by lookalikes that had been trained and operated on to make look like. He says, you can tell Jimmy Carter's not Jimmy Carter because he has this part on the other side of the head. And people just don't change their part. And I checked it out. Sure enough, he changed his part just about the time the conspiracy people said that he'd been replaced. I thought, that is kind of odd to change a part. You know, who changes their part when they're 50 years old? Hardly anybody. Anyway, nothing transpired. All the warnings, nothing happened. And over 40, almost 40-year time period, not one single conspiracy prophecy has come true that I have read about. They have been wrong every single time. I have not found one that has been right. Now, if there's anything to these, why has the conspirators not been able to do one single thing they planned? Not one single thing they planned has transpired. Of all the predictions I've heard, and I've heard hundreds of predictions, and I followed it. I still follow it. I still check the conspiracy theories on the internet, even now. You know, it's kind of a hobby. And Blaine was smart enough. The last conspiracy theory was that they were going to take over the Olympics, initiate martial law, and Blaine was smart enough to predict that it wouldn't happen. And
I always bet on a good thing. Nobody took my bus.
I only bet on sure bets.
So using the Book of Mormon as an example on the law of correspondences, there is a conspiracy that fulfills the prediction of a people that hide out in the caves and mountains, that come down and cause disruption, that have their people planted in various places throughout the civilized world, that are seeking the destruction of people, and that are visible and are actually somebody that you can send an army to go fight. And root out. Very close comparisons Al-Qaeda is to the Gedeon robbers. Now this doesn't mean this is the only conspiracy, because the true conspiracy is among the Dark Brotherhood, who seek to take away all the freedoms of the world. And what they do is they will work wherever they can. And the most powerful place they're manifesting right now is Al-Qaeda, we have a lot more to worry about them than we had to worry about the bankers, even though we have a tremendous problem with the economy. I don't think it's because of conspiracy. They're just way, way overextending themselves. I mean, they're giving some people loaning 120% the value of homes, tremendous loans to bail out third world nations, and the bankers are way overextending themselves, and we're in danger of a depression. But what happens with the Dark Brotherhood is where they find a weakness, is that they will try to plant people that will administer these oaths. And people say, well, the conspiracy theorists have looked for a conspiracy. The mistake that they've made is they're looking for a conspiracy pretty much in one place. Some will say there's a Jewish conspiracy. The Jews are the conspirators. Okay. Well, the truth is there probably are a number of conspirators among the Jews that have gone over to the dark side and have taken the oaths. But it's not a Jewish conspiracy. Others say the bankers are the conspirators. Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, is the head of the whole thing. Well, there are a number of people that are part of the conspiracy in the banking industry, but the bankers are not the conspiracy. But there are numbers of people who are under the control of the Dark Brotherhood who have taken oaths that are in the banking industry. Other people say the churches, the Catholic Church, is a conspiracy. Well, there's people in the Catholic Church that are working on the dark side. Other people say the Masons are the conspiracy because they have oaths and covenants to begin with. Well, there's good Masons and bad Masons, and there are Masons that are conspirators in the Masonic lodges. But the Masons are not the conspiracy. The conspiracy is an invisible organization that, like water reaches its own level, the conspirators will reach people of similar thought to themselves. But among these people that are reached, there are pockets where the oaths are administered. There are pockets among the Masons where the oaths are administered. And there are pockets probably among the bankers. I don't know, haven't heard for sure about the oaths being administered there, but there's definitely the place that's most conspicuous. The most conspicuous arm of the conspiracy is Al-Qaeda itself right now. And the group of religious fanatics seeking to utterly destroy anyone who disagrees with them. And the reason the Dark Brothers is picking religion is because there's no greater hope of destroying civilization than a religious war. I mean, if the bankers were to take over the world, they don't have nearly the power to create the havoc of a religious war. A religious war, people will die for their religion. These bankers wouldn't give their lives to crash into a World Trade Center. I mean, their lives are valuable to them. They're not about to give their lives. Or most of the Masons that are maybe on the dark side there, they don't want to give their lives either. But for a religion, you can get people in a religion to give their lives for you. And that's why the Dark Brothers are picking particularly centering the conspiracy among the religions of the world today, trying to divide one religion against another. And this is the fulfillment of the Book of Mormon prophecy. When ye shall see this come upon you. Let me read this prophecy again. And keep in mind, the word see is a key word here. Now let me read it in this light. Now I, Moroni, do not write the manner of their oaths and combinations. He doesn't want to give them out to the general population because they're dangerous. For it hath been made known unto me that they are had among all people. See, like I said, it's had among the Masons. It's had among the bankers. It's had among Al-Qaeda. It's had among the churches. Maybe even in the Mormon church. And they have caused the destruction of this people of whom I am now speaking, and also the destruction of people of Nephi. And whatsoever nation shall uphold such secret combinations to get power and gain until they spread over the nation, behold, they shall be destroyed. For the Lord will not suffer the blood of his saints, which shall be shed for them, to cry from the ground. Wherefore, go down here, when ye shall see these things come among you, that ye shall awake to a sense of your awful situation because of this secret combination which shall be among you. The word see is a key word here. When I first learned of the conspiracy theories, I couldn't see them. I heard about them there. I mean, kind of made me nervous when I read all these books about them, because I thought, wow, man, who knows where they are? They're everywhere. Okay, but I couldn't see them. And who's it talking about seeing? It's not talking about just a couple individuals. It's talking about America. He says, this is given to the Gentiles that shall inhabit this country. So when America shall see these people surface, it says, then we must awaken to the sense of our awful situation. Now, this is one of the reasons I brought this up is because as I've gone through the internet and read the conspiracy people, what they're saying, they're all planning George Bush as the big conspirator because he's a member of Skull and Bone Society, supposedly, and his family is supposed to go to this Bohemian convention and worship this owl or something, you know, and it's a whole bunch of weird stuff about what he's supposed to be doing, you know, but... So they're all portraying George Bush as the big conspirator. But who is the one that's putting down the true conspirators? When he gave that speech, that main speech he gave right after we were attacked, the big one that was nationally televised, I felt the presence of Christ descend on the guy. And I felt the Spirit, and I was moved to tears when I felt that. And then when I read about people presenting him as a conspirator, I mean, it really bothered me. Because this is a man that's fighting the conspirators. And yet all the conspirators, 99% of them, think that George Bush is one of the conspirators. Yet he is the one that is leading the war to put down the Gadianton robbers. So is the conspiracy itself controlled by the Dark Brotherhood as an arm to try to take the good people of the world and make them think that evil is good and good is evil? To turn everything upside down so the lights of the world will not be supported by the powers of right? Is this possible? I think so. Because I felt the Spirit of God descend on Bush. I felt it 2 or 3 times. I felt the presence of Christ descend on him 2 or 3 times when he's been given speeches. Other times I haven't felt anything. You know, he kind of stumbles around. But there's been a couple times I have felt that the Brotherhood is working with him.
Did it say in prophecy what we're supposed to do besides just be aware of them?
Yeah, it says we must hunt them down and destroy them.
Well, I'm not probably going to pick up a gun myself, so what can I do?
Well, we need to support the war to go hunt them down and destroy them.
Why do you think the Bush administration won't let Israel take care of business? They've been being terrorized by the Palestinians for
Bush isn't perfect. He listens too much to his advisors. I think it's like Colin Powell is really against that. And
because that sends mixed signals.
Yeah, it does.
I agree with you. But Israel,
remember when he got up and said if you harbor terrorists, he says, if you harbor terrorists, he says, we will go after you. I felt the Spirit of God when he said that. But when he doesn't follow that, I have not felt the Spirit of God around him when he hasn't followed that. You know, but
so it's the same as the Dark Brothers. The light will work wherever it has an outlet.
Oh yeah, same thing. If Bush has his heart in the right place, they will work with him. And when he was saying those words, when he said a lot of good things, like he divided good and evil. He says there's good and there's evil, and we're going after the evildoers. And he had the Spirit with him when he said that, talking about he divided the light from the dark and says we're going after the dark and we're going to destroy them, we're going to root them out, and we're going to destroy them. And he had the Spirit with him. But when he's talking about Israel, he doesn't have the Spirit with him. And just like everybody, we're all that way. I mean, all of us, sometimes we do the right thing, sometimes we don't. Same thing with our leaders. I never felt the Spirit around Clinton at all. The first 3 seconds I heard him speak, I just saw an image of Jimmy Swaggart. It only took 3 seconds. I saw it was Jimmy Swaggart. I mean, I saw his, remember the story about how they heard Brigham Young speak and they saw Joseph Smith. I mean, the very first time I saw Clinton, I saw Jimmy Swaggart's face.
Does that mean then that some entity had to go and contact a man, what's the name of the guy, and convince, show him the oath and how he can use to control other people?
Well, the oath, once a person's mind gets into utter selfishness and power, the oaths just come to him. Now, the mafia has these same oaths. You know, if you take an oath when you join the mafia, and you swear in the name of God, and if you break the oath, you're killed. You're given a kiss of death, and you're killed. And it keeps everybody in line. And the mafia, you know, is very religious. Most of them are very staunch Catholics. And they don't want to offend God. You know, they go to church, and they're very reverential toward the religion. Yeah.
When we're in the military and we make an oath, protect the Constitution of the United States, so help us God, is that a bad oath?
Do you swear in the name of God?
Yeah.
That's not a correct oath. Here's what Jesus says. He says, in all of your covenants, say yes or no. Anything more than this is evil. It says it point blank. So he says, do not swear by angels, do not swear by the temple, do not swear by the throne of God. If somebody asks you for something, say yes or no. That's all you have to do. Anything more than this is evil.
Yeah, but what if they're administering the oath and all you have to do is say yes or no?
Well, if you're going to run for office and get a chance to be president of the United States and you have to swear in the name of God, well, you know, it's probably worth it. Because you might be able to do. But overall, Jesus points this out, that you just have to say yes or no. And, you know, it makes sense. If a person says yes or no, he's going to do it just as much as somebody that swears on the Bible or on his mother's grave or whatever, you know. But and this is the type of oath given by the Brotherhood of Light. You just say, are you willing to do it or not willing to do it? Yes or no. Simple yes or no, please. And that's all the Brotherhood of Light requests out of anyone, is a simple yes or no. You're going to do it or not going to do it? Whereas the Dark Brotherhood says, now, here's what you got to do. Swear to our leader in the name of God, allegiance forever and ever, and or else you will die. Will you swear that way? Oh, yeah. You know. And that's how the Dark Brotherhood administers their oaths. So one of the ways to tell light from dark is from the oaths in the organization. Do they give oaths that bind a person in the name of God? You know. And even in our free society, which is relatively free, we realize it's not 100% free, but there are oaths that have crept in. But the true conspiracy, like it says in the Book of Mormon, is had among all peoples. These oaths have crept in almost everywhere. They crept in the Mormon Church in the latter days of Joseph Smith. They crept in our government. They've crept in banking system. They've crept in the Muslim world big time, and that's where it's surfacing now. It's got such a stronghold among the ultra-Muslim, ultra-extremist Muslims. Got such a stronghold that the prophecies fulfilled that we as a nation can actually see them. They have surfaced where we can see the conspirators. We can see them to the extent that we can actually send an army after them the way the Nephites did. And this happened quite often, as the Gadianton robbers would surface, the Nephites would send an army, and there was a couple times they destroyed them, they thought. And they were gone for a period of time, went underground, and then they surfaced again. But they kept resurfacing, because these oaths kept coming back and back. And there was always somebody that brought it up again. So the conspiracy people are not entirely wrong. I mean, there are conspirators in the government. Like Susan says, there's men in black that you want to be aware of. But what we have to look for more than anything else is the fulfillment of the prophecy is when the nation as a whole can actually see the conspirator surface, and this prophecy has been fulfilled. They have shown themselves. And it says, when they show themselves, when we see them, we must put them down. And as far as power goes, it's a natural thing for anyone who has power to retain unto that power. A big corporation, a big oil, big government, they will all seek to maintain their power. Every religion will seek to maintain their power. And you threaten the power of any organization, you're asking for trouble. So whether there's a conspiracy or not, the powers that be are going to seek to maintain their power. Because the powers that be are actually composed of an elemental life forms. And each life form seeks to preserve itself. If someone came to you, ran and said they were going to kill you, would you seek to hurt them first? Seek to stop them in any way that you could?
Yeah,
right. So if big oil, for instance, has free energy surfacing that's going to destroy them, because they are a life form, will they seek to destroy first? That's not necessarily a conspiracy. That's just the way things work. Susan was talking about people that develop these free energy devices, and many of them have had their lives threatened. Mm-hmm. And so once they say, if you had a free energy device that would make oil obsolete within 2 years, don't you think somebody would be coming after you and try to destroy you?
Yeah.
I mean, there's thousands and thousands of jobs, billions of dollars hanging on it. You're going to have somebody coming out. It doesn't take a conspiracy to do that. It just will happen. Just like if somebody come after Ren and says, I'm going to destroy you, he doesn't have any conspiracy about it. He just wants to protect himself and destroy them first. No conspiracy involved.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the New Age Christian Synthesis Podcast. If what you heard rang true and you would like to find out more, please visit J.J. Dewey's website at freeread.com. That's freeread.com.